Futures trading is not suitable for all investors. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future results. The opinions shared on this podcast should not be construed as trading recommendations and do not necessarily represent the opinions of EdgeClear, the hosts, officers, and affiliates of the podcast. Right, welcome to Behind the Screens. This is episode 22, and it is our last episode of the 2022 calendar year. I have a special guest on. Probably could have guessed I had to bring Morad on, FT71, for the last episode. Morad, thanks for joining, and I look forward to getting into a year in review here.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So, you know, there's a lot that's happened this year. Pretty volatile market for most of the year, and continuing still. It looks like it may still continue. We'll get into that. But how has your approach evolved over the year, if at all? You know, your trading approach, did it change at all? What's trading this volatility been like?
The thing about volatility is because of all the movement, it kind of tugs at that FOMO emotional response. So there's a tendency to want to trade more, to act more. But the process for me is all the same. I've had to be really selective. There's been some really tremendous movement throughout the year, very consistently throughout the year, even through the summer and the slow months. But really, I've done a pretty good job staying focused on the big picture. What's the market doing? What is it trying to do? How good of a job is it doing getting there? What is it likely to do next? And the macro picture kind of weighed in pretty heavily. And when that does, you know, I traded through the 2008, the Lehman Brothers and Bear Stearns crash. When you get into an environment where the macro kind of takes over, sometimes things don't make sense, and I tend to be much more reserved. I'm trading a lot less than I normally would. In 2008, I traded the highest volume ever, largest size ever, most frequency ever. But this year, I've kept things kind of slow and just focused on the bigger picture.
Yeah, that's say the biggest sentiment for my year. A lot of waiting patiently and trying to see if things play out how I think they will versus being super active and aggressive, trying to catch moves, which fortunately has done all right for me this year. But, you know, it's definitely a challenge to sit there when the market's so volatile. I get what you mean. You get that FOMO, you feel like you want to be participating, but you don't have to be participating. And sometimes that participation on the wrong side of this volatility can ruin your whole week or month even. So, yeah.
I agree.
Cool.
So I just want to say one more thing. You know, options are not suitable for all investors, but what a year for options. I mean, high volatility, lots of event risk, high premiums, and just many opportunities in the futures to just get stopped out of a perfectly good position. Whereas with options, I think, like, if I had more background in options and I had focused on options more, I think I would be much calmer and probably have better results, to be honest with you. Again, options are not suitable for all investors. They carry some exceptional risk, especially for short options. But I just wanted to throw that in there. It's one of those areas I want to kind of get into more.
Yeah, well, I'm you know, learning myself, but that's pretty much where my entire involvement has been this year. I found that I can allow myself to sit through those types of events and be a little more patient when I've got a longer term options, you know, bias on the market and something that's expiring, and I just need the market to be above or below that price come that expiration versus sweating it out with my stop in there and, you know, freaking out. Of course, like you said, options are not suitable for all investors. And if you get caught on the wrong side of some of those short options positions, again, that can be
painful,
really, really painful, because then you get liquidity starts to dry up too. If the market's really moving quickly away from it, I mean, you can end up in some tough spots in those.
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely. So cool. What else have you been focused on during this recent volatility? Macro stuff? Are you keeping up with all the headlines?
Yeah, I mean, I've never traded without a news feed. I have three of them running at all times. And not that I'm going to trade the news events specifically, but But, you know, Feds Bullard might come and say something, or the president might say something, the ECB might say something. There's been just a lot of spotlight on central bankers, politicians with Ukraine this year. The moves that Europe tried to make with their energy crisis. There's just been a lot of that. So there's a lot of focus on news. But, you know, to me, volatility, just it's the same. The market operates in fractals. And to me, it's like, oh, we're in a wider rotational environment or higher volatility. So I got to cut size. I've got to widen my stops, widen my targets to get good returns for risk and things like that. But it's just, you know, it's kind of an expanding and contracting balloon. And this year, definitely expanding. So those are the, you know, the volatility effects. But there's also been a lot of disagreement with the market players. You know, they think that, you know, more of this means bullish for about an hour. And then it's no, it's actually terrible news. So we're going to sell off. Or there's just been a lot of, I have to say, chaotic responses to market events. Not that I try to understand the why of every move, but I got to tell you, sometimes I look at the screen and I'm like, what just happened? I don't get that at all. So yeah. There's been a lot of that this year with this volatility.
Yeah, I feel like this is the most that I've seen, at least in my time, you know, around markets. You know, you were around in 2008, but people are like clinging to every event and word that someone says about a certain thing. And like, again, a lot of disagreement too, right? The market might push 60 points in a matter of a few seconds higher, and then all of a sudden it's selling off and dipping down another 120 points, right?
Yeah.
So it's definitely been crazy. It's the most I've followed, you know, macro events and headlines and news ever since I got into the industry. And you have to, because there's a lot of risk on during those events as well. And, you know, from the brokerage side, we have to make sure that's kept in check and keep an eye on people. So it's been a crazy year.
Yeah, you actually have the additional responsibility to keep an eye on a risk screen and make sure that your customers, your traders, are not getting themselves in trouble while the movement's happening. I can't imagine right. doing that, but you're very good at that.
Appreciate it. Yeah. Sometimes you just gotta, you know, I look over at my options position and I'm like, I can't even look at it. Gotta focus on risk. I'll get out of it later because I know it's a loser after some of those news events. Yeah. So it's been a very busy year, but it's been great to learn how some of these events are actually shaping the market, and we'll see how it affects 2023 as well. So what tools have you been using in your trading this year?
For me, it hasn't changed much. I mean, I'm still using Edge Pro X as the primary execution platform. I think there isn't a tool out there that is perfect all the time. I run Edge Pro X on Rhythmic. There have been issues here and there with Rhythmic, but I have to say that they're very responsive. And even when I was paying $1,600 a month for a much more professional and well-known platform, we still had the same kind of issues where data isn't loading or you can't log in or whatever. But overall, Edge Pro X running Rhythmic is just, I think, is a wonderful solution. It's a cost-effective solution. And it's given me everything I need between, you know, looking at the big picture with a market profile or TPO chart to narrowing it down to my intraday chart, selecting, you know, figuring out my bias, doing my homework, looking at my bias, and then going down to an active short-term chart. You know, in the S&P, I use a 1 tick by 8. In the NASDAQ, I use a 1 tick by 30. And you know, then I narrow it down to the area I want to execute in. Then I have an order flow chart to look at what's actually executing and a heat map that tells me what's standing in the way. I know that sounds like a lot, but I'm going, you know, big picture to small picture to zoomed in. All of that within one platform has been pretty good. I haven't really added anything to my repertoire in general it takes a lot for me to decide, you know, something has to go severely wrong for me to jump off one platform or data feed into another. I prefer to be consistent. I prefer to focus on the market and trading plans and my price maps rather than, hey, let me try this new platform. Let me switch to this one. Let me change to that broker or this broker. I prefer not to do that. But, you know, it's been pretty steady.
Yeah. I mean, I've built out quite a lot on EdgeProX over this year myself, especially with the volatility. I've found that I've had to add kind of larger and larger picture charts because I just have a hard time picking up any context if I'm not looking at a wide enough time frame, right? And I need to be able to put those levels out there that are, you know, longer term in my mind, but they could be hit the very next day because of the market volatility. Yeah. So this is, you know, I think I've got like 8 different tabs of charts that I just kind of cycle through. Same deal, high time frame, lower time frame. And then, you know, it's honestly replaced. I've had a TradingView subscription forever too, and I find myself using EdgeProX 98% of the time. And if I want to look at some stocks or something, I'll go check out TradingView. But even with Rhythmic, you can get NASDAQ data and EdgeProX too. So
yeah, it's true.
We'll see. Might be dropping that too. do your tools change? Or I guess more so I would say that in higher versus lower volatility, like, does the way you view and set up as far as the time frame you need to look at, your homework, like, does any of that change for you? Or is it more so just the position sizing, the stops and the targets, how far out you're putting that?
I change the periodicity on my charts. I mean, like, in a slower environment, I might be looking at a one tick by 30 or 40 in the NASDAQ. In the current environment, I'm looking at a one tick by 64. If it goes crazier, I'm going to go to a, you know, potentially a 60 minute just to be able to keep enough bars on the screen to see what the heck has happened to the left of where we are. But, you know, the tools don't change that much. The periodicity does. And what I focus on does, you know, when things are volatile, there's a lot more information and it tends to cause people to become a lot more active. To me, I over the years I've recognized that when there's more volatility, you want to cut back on what you're looking at and you want to just ride that. The beautiful thing about volatility, higher volatility to me, is I get to find out if I'm right or wrong relatively quickly. Whereas if we're in a, you know, a 9-point VIX cycle or something where the entire day's range in the S&P is 11 or 12 points, you could be sitting for 2.5 hours before your stop is hit. And it might take another 2.5 hours to get another signal. And by then you're in the closing range and the day is done. So you get this kind of one and done type of thing. So I'm thankful for the fact that we have some movement, money moving in and out of the market. It's great. But I try not to change things too much. And I look to bigger picture when there's volatility, whereas others kind of start looking at more products and more lines and more moving averages and more fibs. And, I think it just creates a much more emotional response. It's no longer a trading plan, in my opinion.
Yeah. I'm the same way. I've cut back. I mean, every level, important area, anything that I've drawn on a chart throughout this year has been something, like I mentioned, that's been relatively further out looking. But again, with this volatility, that range could be achieved in a session, right? So it just helps keep me focused, especially doing more so in options. You know, it helps keep me focused on the longer term and not getting too antsy when the market pushes, you know, somewhere outside of my comfort zone, right? I know, or an idea of how much I'm willing to risk on the position. And if the market really starts to push hard, then I can break out of that trade or close it out early before expiration. So
yeah, that makes
same
sense.
Deal on this end. Yeah. Yeah. Got to cut it down sometimes versus adding more.
Yeah, absolutely.
Speaking of other things with volatility, historically, for myself, I've found that in volatility, I tend to make a lot of trading errors as well, right? Market's moving quickly. I feel like this year I did a good job of not doing that because I was more patient with my entries and things like that. But did you uncover any new trading errors this year? Anything that stood out to you?
I mean, I've been doing this a while. I've kind of lived through just all kinds of just stupidity and stubbornness and, you know, FOMO, really bad FOMO response and things like that. But I got to tell you, you know, if we're speaking about trading errors, I think what's happened in with full transparency, I don't want to give the impression that there's some sort of perfection going on over here. There isn't. My biggest error is that I'm just not focused. There's a lot that's going on. You know, I'm here at the EdgeClear office. And in addition to that, I have another trading company and I have, you know, a daughter who just turned one today. There's just a lot going on.
Happy birthday to her.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. there's just a lot going on. And what's happening is I allow these things to kind of, despite the homework, the morning trader bite and so on, there are many, many instances where I just get up to talk to somebody, come back, and there's the whole thing that I spent the morning talking about, it happened and I'm not a part of it. And that happened a lot this year. And this is one of the key, imperatives or key, to-dos, things that I need to improve on for next year. But so that's the key thing. It's the error of not following my plan, not because I'm fading it or not because I don't believe in it, but mainly because I've just got too much going on. So that is a huge problem and it's frustrating because I'm just like, every time it happens, I'm like, oh God, but then I do it again and again and again. But things, you know, the team here is getting bigger. So is the team in the other company and I'm not needed as much. And I'm looking forward to coming back to just trading, looking forward to that day. So that'll take care of that issue.
Yeah, don't worry. I'll find ways to bother you still.
Go for it.
Yeah, we'll do a couple more questions and then kind of get back to a recap because you mentioned, you know, EdgeClear is growing and I definitely want to talk about what we've accomplished this year. Not to toot our own horns too much for the listeners, but there's a lot happening and a lot of good I think we do in the industry. But first, just sticking to trading, like what are you expecting for 2023? What do you, what's your mindset into the year? What are you expecting as far as the markets? Just kind of get into that.
To answer this, I have to lean on much, much smarter guys than me in terms of macro. And we had a great show just 2 days ago, December 14th, with Anthony Crudelli, Futures Radio Show. On that show, we had Macro Alf and Andreas Steno Larsen. And these guys are macro guys who also trade. And I have to lean on them in terms of what am I expecting for 2023? And I see it in the markets. You know, I see the market has a hard time holding certain prices. Right now, the S&P can't hold anything above 4,100, which makes sense for the interest rates that we were at with the Fed. But my expectation is we're likely to see some pain Q1 of next year. And that's going to prompt the Fed to do an about face when it comes to interest rates and tightening and so on. And it's likely to result in an easing environment, at least into Q2 or Q3 of next year. So I expect that there's going to be a fair amount of losses of jobs. You know, they got to defeat this pricing 10% year-on-year price increases like they're seeing in Europe, and to do that you have to beat up the economy. And so what does that mean for us as traders? It means a whole lot more volatility coming our way. There's going to have to be movement in and out of the market to either defend or deploy positions, because you can't just sit in cash and say, well, this is going to be a bear year, so I'm just going to sit in cash. Well, you should be looking at you know, treasuries. You should be looking at options. You should be looking at blah, 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 whatever the program says. So I think we're going to see quite a bit of volatility, a lot of delta hedging, gamma convexity, gamma hedging, all that stuff is going to continue. So I'm expecting 2023 to be just like 2009, where we had the shock and now we're dealing with the fallout, except we're already in an increasing interest rate environment. We may see the Fed turn around and say, we're cutting 200 basis points next month. We're cutting another 100 basis points, like quickly going back to zero. I don't know. But I expect it to be quite volatile. I expect there to be quite a bit of opportunity, quite a bit of risk, which I think is good for everyone who's a trader, not great for investors. But, you know, it's just another cycle. It's a bear cycle.
Yeah. As they say, the trader's market, right? And I'm certainly not going to claim to be a macro economist or anything, but I would say the same thing, right? I mean, it's like you said, 4,100, how are we going to hold above there? And, you know, just from what I go in and look at my longer term charts, you know, a lot of the things that I'm seeing point to a little more pain. I'm not, you know, sitting on the podcast to be a pessimist, but just trying to get a realistic view of what's probably coming. And then hopefully we'll see, you know, if the Fed pivots and lightens up, then we'll see what's to come after that.
The trick is for traders is not to be attached to any of that. So to know that, hey, maybe around the corner, there's this potentially increasing volatility, but not to be attached to, oh, you know, this market should not be here. How could it possibly be here? I'm not going to get long. You know, the longs are stupid, all that stuff. Don't be, have an opinion, but recognize that's not your trading plan. That's not your process. You're here to fulfill a process. Kind of, you know, the analogy to this is like, I might be a policeman. I might have to enforce a law. I might disagree with the mayor or with the legislators on this law, but when I'm wearing a uniform, so when I'm sitting in front of my trade station, I'm going to do my job. Even though my opinion is it's wrong, you know, whatever the rules are, even if it's, if you know, vacating people out of their home in the middle of winter, it's the law. I might think it's absolutely morally wrong or I have a strong opinion about it, but when I'm wearing the uniform, I'm going to go and I'm going to do my job. So that's how I look at macro and having these biases. Like, I'm interested, I'm living this, and I want to know, but when I'm sitting down, I'm doing a job, and that job involves assessing the market in this way, looking for cues, creating my levels, which I call my price map, seeing where the market is relevant to that price map, and then putting on positions with clearly defined risk and targets when they show up. I'm not gonna think, oh my God, the Fed is just doing stupid things. I think I'm just gonna get short because of that. It's not relevant. So separate the opinion from the process. The process is what makes money, in my opinion.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I found myself going 2 years back, well, geez, 3 years at this point, when COVID first hit, you know, the market was going down. And I find myself a lot of times when I would go to trade doing exactly not the right process, where I would say, well, geez, how could we be going up? Everything's just going crazy because of COVID. I'm getting short. And, you know, at the end of the day, you end up getting burned. Yeah, exactly.
And one of the biggest rallies known to mankind.
Exactly. Right. So, you know, sometimes you just, like you said, you got to come in and do the job and not let your opinion about what you think should be happening or is going to happen affect what is in front of you and what you've done your homework on. So, it's a great point there. Let's get into some recap, 2022 recap. Trying to keep this at half an hour, so we're almost there. I want to hear what you think your greatest achievement of 2022 was and what you hope to achieve or maybe didn't achieve in 2022 that you want to continue to work on this year.
Greatest achievement, I mean, I'm very, very proud of what we built through EdgeClear. I mean, we went from a company that launched less than 3 years ago to one that has just an incredible reputation, 5-star rating on 100+ reviews on Google. I've watched you. I've been working with you for a while. I've watched you. I've watched Max just grow to be tremendous managers. You know, you have an employee that you're supervising now. That's a big achievement. And we hired some new people who are just great. They're just doing a great job. We built this wonderful office. We're playing pool a lot in here. There's just a lot that's positive, right? And it's really important to me. I mean, at the end of the day, I preach about this every year, but at the end of the day, you know, I could make a lot of money. I could lose a lot of money, and I have made and lost a lot of money. But at the end of the day, what is the impression? What is the impact you had through that journey? That's where I'm focused. And these types of things, the people that I'm interacting with at EdgeClear, online, in my Trader Bytes, at Convergent Trading, the partners that we have, Crudelli and many other influencers, PAX and all these other people, some of the partners that we've signed on with the funding programs have been great. You know, it's just looping back to the team, just watching people go from what is a futures contract to, yes, I can help you figure out how to roll a contract on a complex position, or, you know, fighting for a customer to make sure that they're made whole because there was an issue with their account through the clearing firm or whatever. I think just watching people grow. And that's what I loved about being in prop, is bringing someone in who has no clue to watching them become just a fantastic trader, you know? So that's the greatest achievement across the board. Of course, I added one more family member. That's been amazing. Things I'd like to work on. I have to say that I'd love to get back to pre-COVID shape. I've done a very, very poor job addressing my ability to be fit. I was training for the Chicago Marathon before COVID started. I ran a half marathon in 2018, and I intended to, by 2020, be ready for the Chicago Marathon in October. And COVID hit, and then it's almost like, oh, can't do it. So just throw everything out. And I've not been in great shape, and I can feel it, and I'm not getting any younger. So that's a shortcoming that I need to keep working on for 2023. But there's a lot in store for EdgeClear, for you, for the rest of the team, for anybody that I'm working with. I feel like there's so much in store, and there's so much growth in the pipeline. We're gonna start adding more team members here at EdgeClear. We're probably gonna do the same at Convergent. It's just very, very positive. We're really on the right track, is what I feel.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And it's certainly my greatest achievement of the year. That and getting engaged. I'd be remiss if I didn't say that as well.
Absolutely.
But wow. Those two.
Alex is going to be very upset watching this with you not mentioning.
Yeah. That one's first. I'll just, you know, go back and say that's top. But no, the growth at EdgeClear is the growth at EdgeClear is fantastic. And I would agree. I mean, adding an employee, it's just been fantastic, and a very positive outlook going into next year as well with what we'll be building. And then I would say what to work on is the same as you. You know, I was in fantastic shape for most of my 20s, and now we're getting into 30, and I've kind of let myself slack the last couple of years.
Wait till you get married. Wait till you get married. It's going to be even more of that. So you got to be more diligent. Yeah.
So that'll be a piece of work in 2023, getting back into some decent shape and getting back into running. I used to run a lot, so that'll be the same. Well, cool. I think the last thing I wanted to end on, just speaking of EdgeClear, is We launched an automated trading program this year, in addition to the new team members. So that was awesome as well. A lot of work, a lot of time, a lot of work went into that. And we finally came out with EdgeQX for, you know, micro e-mini S&P and the e-mini S&P. And that's just been an incredible process and, you know, great to see and just an awesome, I think, tool that people can check out, right? Just something for an active trader. If you want to subsidize or get into a different type of market, maybe you're not a mini trader, right? Maybe you don't like the indices, but you have capital that you're interested in putting into something.
Maybe you want to be able to get long or short in your investment account. Right. But the thing with EdgeQX that's really interesting is that it's a quantitative product. It's so agnostic, yet it's intraday. So we don't have to sit here and hold a position for weeks to find out what the outcome is. You know, it's been running live for 3 months. That first month, it got absolutely pummeled with the Fed announcement. The Fed took a break in August, came back in September, and was pretty aggressive with the interest rate increases. So the volatility, which this program somewhat thrives on, was just too much. And so it took some hits. So we launched this thing, and immediately it wasn't doing very well. It was experiencing a decent drawdown, but it made all of that back. And you can see those. You can just go to edgeqx.com to see the results there, the live results. If you know, it came back pretty quick, and it's been doing relatively well. And knock on wood, if there's anything that's wood in this office.
I've got wood in here, so.
Knock on wood, it keeps going. But it's a fantastic team that's behind this. You know, it's a product from InvestiQuant, and it's custom to EdgeClear. And a lot of people have gotten on it. And I really would love to see this expand. I would love it to expand to NASDAQ and other products, and we'll keep working with them on that. But that has been quite an achievement to put out a sophisticated program like this, fully automated, black box type program, and make it available to traders, you know, who have smaller accounts. For $10,000, you can participate in this thing. So that's, I think, quite an achievement as well. You're right.
Yeah. Just wanted to touch on that last thing. I didn't want to get all salesy on people here in the last 2 minutes of the podcast, but it was quite an achievement, and I wanted to make sure we mentioned it as well. Cool. Anything else, Maura, before we part ways and go into the new year?
Not much more than to remember to take a minute and just look around you, look at all the great things that are around you and appreciate those. You know, we're go-getters, we're A-type personalities, and sometimes we forget to just, during the holidays, to just slow down enough to, you know, hear someone talk and really listen, or to just throw our feet up on the couch and just relax. It always feels to me like I'm should be doing something. So, you know, just take a moment. It's going to be a heck of a year next year. Take a moment now to kind of take it in and slow down, and be sure you're hugging the ones you love and you see your family and so on, and come back rejuvenated to trade this coming year. It's I expect that there will be a lot of opportunities again.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think I absolutely agree. Take that time. Thank you for coming on. I know we're grateful to have you here, and there is no EdgeClear without your leadership and knowledge and experience. So me and the rest of the team, I know that we really appreciate that, and we look forward to a great 2023.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
All right, Bart.
Take care.
You bet.